RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Sarah Nelson runs Juniper Hill Farm, a small-scale boutique organic beef and venison farm in the Hawke's Bay. After being unfulfilled, sitting behind a desk, she took over the family farm in 2008 and embarked on converting the farm to organics. She's passionate about organic food production and how it benefits human health and the environment. And after becoming more and more focused on ethically produced meat, Sarah and her partner established the first BioGrow certified and MPI accredited on-farm micro abattoir and butchery. The key driver for this was to provide their cattle with the most humane slaughter possible. And Sarah joins us now. Thanks for coming on, Sarah. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul.
Ethically, what was the term there? Ethically produced meat. That kind of suggests that the regular way, not so ethical, right?
Without pointing the finger in any direction, I guess it really was born out of what felt right for us and how we would like to do things.
Can I suggest this word? Because I see that you're motivated by honouring. Is that the word, honouring the animals?
It absolutely is. So our cattle are born here, raised, finished, slaughtered, and all the butchery's done here. They never get on a truck. They never go to a meatworks. And that, it's pretty unique and pretty special. And I think it really removes the stress out of the whole process for the animal. Can they sense
these things when it doesn't feel right?
Yeah, absolutely. Animals, I think quite often we don't really appreciate the sort of full potential of their senses, and they definitely pick up on these things.
I'm really curious how, because you are in such a great place to observe, how aware are these type of animals? I mean, you know, we think of ourselves as, you know, superior in every way, but
yeah,
what's your sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, as an example, you know, if I'm taking a stranger through the farm and, you know, we go and walk into the paddock to have a look at some cattle, straight away they know this person is different. If it was just me there, they wouldn't batter an eyelid, wouldn't bother to get up.
That's Sarah. Don't worry about her.
yeah, that's just her again. Yeah, so little things like that. When you watch the breeding cows give birth and their mothering abilities and the way they protect their young calves and the way they help each other out in that process it's extraordinary. And it's quite a privilege to actually sort of sit back and watch at times. Sometimes I kind of say to myself, I think humans could learn a lot from the way our girls do things.
Some questions here. We hear the word organic a lot. What does it really mean?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's becoming a little bit of a catchphrase, a bit like kind of sustainability and you know, to some degree, the term regenerative. And it does mean different things to different people. I guess for us at Juniper Hill, we take that to the sort of full degree. And so the beef that goes out our door has had nothing synthetic put into it at any point. And so whether that's, you know, obviously the farm is certified organic, so there's no chemicals used, there's no glyphosate, there's no synthetic fertilizers, all that sort of stuff. But even down to animal health products, everything is natural. And beyond that, it's also the relationship that you have with the farm as well, and treating the farm as a system, an organic system within itself, and it's a living system. By that I mean every management decision we make affects something else in the ecosystem on the farm. And carrying that awareness, I guess, really helps the organic part of it work.
So you are part, your thinking is part of the organic process.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And if we make a decision today, it could be a simple decision, like a, you know, just a grazing management decision. That can have flow on effects, you know, whether it's in a month's time, it could be 6 months' time. And so we're always thinking, listening, observing, feeling a lot, you know. Sometimes it's just you're just intuiting it. You know, we bring science into the way we farm as well, but a lot of it is observation and feeling.
That's interesting. I mentioned at the beginning, you know, you kind of got sick of the desk job and have completely transitioned to something that's so opposite. What sort of learning did you have to do to go to this level?
I come from a long line of farmers.
Well, that helps, yeah.
Yeah, it does help. It's kind of in the DNA. And I guess that was probably what drove me to want to go and do it. You know, it's in the blood. I picked a lot up from my father from a young age, just kind of tagging along behind him. Read a lot. I'm a keen reader and always learning and throwing ideas around in my head. And would that work here? Would it not? Yeah, we'll give it a go. That sort of stuff. And then getting into organics was just a natural progression, really. It was definitely something that, it was a dream, and yeah, it became reality.
Now you're living the dream.
Yeah, it's and it was just what felt right, and it was kind of the obvious next step. It's I firmly believe that food that we eat and put into our bodies should not be produced with chemicals.
Yeah, many of our audience listening right now would be saying hooray to that. I think they figured that one out. What about, what do we call them, the normie farmers, the traditional farmers, the way that things are being done? Is there a sort of like a shift of attitude towards this? Because surely it's a point of difference in terms of the product, et cetera. Or are there, you know, two camps?
I tend to think of it as a spectrum, you know, a continuum rather, that you've got very, very traditional perspectives on how to farm and, you know, that's sort of the only way that's going to work. And then you've got a lot of people in the middle now, and I think that the farming community is starting to wake up about the possibility of doing things slightly differently and a little bit more sympathetically and in tune with what the land needs.
In terms of business then, Sarah, is it more economic to operate the way you do, or do you have to compromise on that and always your product's going to be more expensive? It's more expensive to produce.
Inputs are much lower than a conventionally run farm.
Yeah.
And look, at the end of the day, our biggest limiting factor in terms of a business is the rain that falls out of the sky.
Okay. Yeah, we can't control that, can you? Unless you're cloud seeding.
Unless you're cloud seeding. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that is for another day.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a very dry area of Hawke's Bay, and so we're farming on a very low rainfall. We have an average rainfall of about 670 mil for those people that are keen on measuring things. And some years that can be down in the 400s. So that is our biggest limiting factor. Our inputs are low. Our production is kind of normal. And so my experience of farming organically is possibly not the mainstream kind of opinion that it's not economically viable. But every farm is different and the economics are different.
I highlighted when I was introducing you micro abattoir. I haven't heard of micro abattoir. I've heard of abattoir, serious industrial scale abattoirs, but micro. Explain that a little more.
The micro abattoir that we've built here at Juniper Hill is it's a mobile facility. So I guess the word micro obviously means small. We're processing 1 to 2 cattle a week, and that's all we aspire to do. So it's small. We're mobile. The mobile aspect allows us to slaughter the animals in their natural environment rather than being restrained in any way, which is the kind of conventional way that happens in a meatworks. And so that enables us to keep the animals incredibly relaxed and, in the natural environment.
Here's a could be a curly question. Do you think they know what's going to happen to them?
No, they don't know. And that's the beauty of the way we are doing it. And that was going back to the original kind of introduction. That was the key driver.
Yeah.
And apart from the humane aspect of it for the animal, it also means that our meat is different. It's incredibly tender and it tastes different because the animal is so relaxed. There's no cortisol, there's no stress in the system. And that is a key difference.
It must be kind of tough, though, to see them go, is it?
Yeah, that's a curly question, and it's a good one. I think 99% of farmers, and I am definitely no exception, absolutely love their animals. If you don't love the animals you're farming, I really believe that you can't do your part of the job properly and to the best of your ability. So it is always a difficult day when that happens. And all these animals most of them I've watched being birthed and I've watched them grow up. But the alternative is far worse. And I think we just feel really lucky here that we can honour the animals in this way. It makes it easier, although it's a hard process.
I can imagine. There is a disconnect, though, isn't there, between consumers, farmers, growers of food? They don't have a relationship directly. Do you think it's important to have one?
I think it's becoming increasingly more and more important. I think food and food scarcity and quality food is, moving into some interesting places, not necessarily positive. Large-scale food production really concerns me. It's controlled by big corporate entities and the quality is quite often not there. Quite often people say to me, what's the best way to eat great food? And I just say to them, get to know where your food comes from.
Yeah.
Go and know where you're getting your vegetables from. Meet the growers, and it's the same for farmers and red meat or whatever it might be. And so that's the other really, really cool thing about what we're doing now is we are getting to know our consumers. And it's really rewarding, actually, to get to that place.
Yeah, because then you have a relationship with them as
exactly.
well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are your consumers? What, do they turn up at the gate or have you got a little section of the chiller at the supermarket? How does it work?
We're all online. We don't do gate sales. Probably for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So we're all online, and most of our consumers are mum and dads and families, and it's we try and keep our price point at a level that is accessible.
How does it compare? Because I know what things are costing in the supermarket right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be perfectly honest. We're not competing with the supermarket, and we're producing a different product. We're on a par and possibly cheaper than some other organic meat retailers.
Right.
And
repeat business is always a sign that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it is.
How regular is the repeat business? Not trying to pry.
It depends whether people are full-scale carnivores or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's interesting observing how much, some people eat in terms of red meat. Everybody's different. But yeah, it's steady and it's consistent. So yeah, it's and the feedback is great. It's everybody just says, "Wow, that beef tastes different. I've really never tasted anything like that before." So yeah. It's nice to have that kind of, you know, the quality of it. Appreciate.
Does it make you feel good as a provider of food? Because that's an essential service in the end. You know,
absolutely.
Like you're providing people with nutritious food. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so before we started doing this, as a farmer, I saw my role very much as a steward of the land. But now that we've incorporated this kind of additional aspect to the business, it's like, yeah, we're nourishing people, and that's wonderful. Like it's amazing to be able to provide people with really clean, organic, high quality beef.
What do you make of the war on farms?
Yeah.
It does seem to be one. Do you think that's real?
It's definitely real, and I don't think that there would be any farmer in this country that, you know, wasn't sensitive to it. It's, I personally find it shocking, and, you know, it's a tough game being a farmer. There's a lot of highs and lows, and there's a lot of things out of our control, and you know, you've got to be resilient, and having the war on us coming from the top down is it's just another aspect that actually we don't need. And most farmers here, they do a great job. Whether they're organic or not, they're doing a great job, and they really, what's the word? You know, it's a priority for them.
Well, they're not the demons that they're made out to be, is what you say.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah.
What's the potential for what you're doing at a bigger scale for this country? Because it seems like, to some anyway, we're kind of at a crossroads. We've got to decide the size that we are, the food that we can produce here, the legacy and tradition that we have, that we could either go sort of kind of the mass production technocratic dream kind of way, or we can do what folk like you are doing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I quite often think about that, and I've always thought that New Zealand should not be trying to feed the world, and you know, rather than being kind of a bulk commodity driven market, you know, really focusing on that premium end. And a lot of meat companies are doing that now. That is definitely the kind of shift. But in terms of individual farmers, I guess it probably brings me to, you know, what we've set up was not entirely straightforward. And, you know, it wouldn't be for everybody. So can everybody kind of do what we've done, or do they have the appetite to do it? Probably not. But I do think that as New Zealand, we need to be really thinking about how we're marketing ourselves as a country and as a food producing country. And, I watched a country calendar years ago on an organic farmer in the South Island, and he said the whole of New Zealand should be organic. And I guess that really answers your question. That's where I'm at. I think there's no reason why the whole of New Zealand can't be organic.
Presumably, with people like you, you know, sort of honing in systems of doing things, that knowledge can be taken and expanded, kind of into a bigger system, a wider system of doing things. And once you've got that going, it gets its own momentum, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the way we do things here at Juniper Hill is very simple. I'm a big believer in keeping things simple, and there's absolutely no reason why it couldn't be replicated and magnified onto a bigger scale.
I can see the ads already, you know? beautiful hills and lovely sunsets and perfectly happy cattle and people like you caring and honoring them. And boy, what a great story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, you know, it's the utopian dream is not an impossible thing.
And the impossible dream. If people want to get in touch, what's the best way? Online, you said, obviously there's a website or some interface.
Online, so we www.juniperhill.co.nz, or you can email us at thefarm@juniperhill.co.nz. And yeah, we've got a very simple website, so if anybody wants to order some beautiful certified organic pure Angus beef, then yeah, jump online.
Well, it's really interesting hearing about what you have to say and what you've done. So thanks for coming on RCR and telling us about it. And I'm sure we'll have some listeners who'll be curious or motivated to find out more and try some of the product, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much for your time, Paul. And it's been great talking.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.